we certainly want to. I think it'd be good for us just to bear in mind every day we live, He is the blessed and only potentate. We walk before Him. And you know, inasmuch as He is that potentate, He's given us His Word. And we need to reverence that Word. We need to desire to know that Word. So, if the Lord would bless us for the balance of the time this morning, I want to call your attention to a parable. And I've given this parable a new name. See if you can figure out which one it is. I want to talk to you about the parable of how much do you care for God's Word. You know that parable? That parable of how much do you care for God's Word. Well, you'll find it in Matthew 13. You'll find it in Mark chapter 4. You'll find it in Luke chapter 8. Quite often we refer to it as the parable of the sower and the seed. I think Elder Joe Holder likes to refer to it as the seed and the soils, because that soil in each of those cases is a condition of the heart. You know, a parable is a story that's designed to teach a lesson by comparison. Now, if you don't understand the simple definition of it, it's a metaphorical analogy. That's something, isn't it? But it's a lesson that's taught by comparison. The Lord did a lot of that, didn't He? And so that's what a lesson is. And it's designed to, for us to hear it and relate it to life in some way. Okay? That's what it is. But what's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of a parable? Let me put it to you this way. The purpose is to see the lesson and apply it. So, if the purpose is to see the lesson and apply it, then guess what? Only those who care enough to know what it means are going to be the ones to apply it. If we care enough to know what it means, then we'll put forth the effort to apply it. I want to let that sink in for a moment, because that has a lot of bearing here upon this parable. If we don't have any interest in it, who cares? It's not going to do us any good, is it? If we don't understand it, or if we don't have a deep-rooted desire to adhere to it, then the least little thing is going to push us away from it. And unless we have a deep desire to please God and bring glory to His name, we're not going to do what's necessary to bear that kind of fruit. Now that in a nutshell is what the Lord is telling us in this parable of the sower. So do we care? I'm not saying you don't. I'm just throwing out the questions here to get us to think about this. Do we care to know what this means? Do we care enough to seek it out, to do what's necessary so that we can obey the Word of God and honor Him and thus bear the kind of fruit that brings glory to his name. This parable addresses so much about the way we live our lives. And we could probably spend the rest of our lives studying what the Lord is telling us about this and comparing it to our life and being exercised by it, and we can continue to grow and bear fruit to his glory just by being reminded what he says in this parable. Because there's parallels to this lesson many places in the Word of God. It's something that's so powerful. I mean, listen, just think about for a moment the world in which we live today and the things that we're facing and the way our government is going and the things that are being done, all right, without getting too much into that. Don't you see how important it is for us as God's people to be letting that light shine, to be bringing honor to his name? You see, right now, I'm not trying to get political here, but right now, there's a big effort to say, you don't have what you need against this threat. We're the only ones that can provide it for you. We'll be your God. Can you imagine? Regardless of how we feel about what's going on, God's people need to be holding on to him tighter than we ever have in our lifetime. I know that God's people have been through an awful lot. And I know there have been times when God's people have been martyred for being faithful to God. And I don't see anybody threatening our lives. You know, there's nobody standing outside of the door just waiting to take our life because we've worshiped the true and living God, the only potentate. But bless your hearts, the times in which we're living, it's so needful for us to be letting our light shine for the glory of God. Right? All right? If we look like the world, how much glory does that give to God? If we're trusting in some kind of world system, how much trust does that show that we're giving to God? It's so needful in our day. But there's so many that seems to be asleep. There's so many that seems to be uncaring. And so may God help us to realize our responsibility before him, to honor him and to serve him. And I know that when we talk about duty, folks like to go to sleep. It's awful quiet in here. But don't we want to honor our God? The more we honor our God, the more manifestation of his presence we can enjoy in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, in our homes, when we come together to meet in the house of God, we'll bring him with us. The more manifestation we'll have of the presence of God. And that's what we desperately need in our day. We need the Lord. We've always needed the Lord, but it ought to be even more evident now. Okay? So, yes, I enjoy all of those doctrinal things that speak about what God has done for us, but there's times when we need to hear what we need to be doing to honor him. Okay? So this parable is designed to show us that when the word is sent forth, it's received in a variety of ways. And it's the condition of the heart that determines how it's received. Okay? So when we think about, you know, and for the heart of a pastor, you know, Brother Thomas has been speaking to us about the charge that Paul gave to Timothy to remember our responsibility of our calling and to honor that one who has called us to this work and to honor his word and his message. And so when we think about You know, I've got maybe an hour each week, sometimes half an hour each week, to try to bring forth the message we feel like the Lord's put on our heart. And we need to be praying for the success of the messages that are preached from this pulpit, regardless of who's preaching it. It's needful for us to be able to pray for the success of the message, which means it's heard, it's received, it's understood, and when we leave this place, we're not going to immediately forget it, but we're going to think about it and put it into practice, because that's when the fruit is born to the glory of God. That's what we need. God to be glorified. We should desire that Piney Grove Church glorifies God. Yes, we want a good service here, but when Piney Grove Church leaves these doors and goes out into the world, that's our opportunity to glorify God. And so it's so important, this word that he's given us is so important that we hear it, we understand it, we receive it, we put it in, think about it, put it into practice, because the goal is fruit to his glory. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 15? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And that's not here in the church meeting. That's out there. Now, it's good to be rejoicing in the Word of God while we're meeting together as the house of, in the house of God, but our opportunity to bear fruit is out there. So, Jesus gave us this parable. I'm going to use Luke 8 for my basis of reading. I may bring in a couple of thoughts from some of the other accounts of it. But this parable, and I felt like it was so needful for us to talk about the purpose, the intent of this parable. Perhaps it's a familiar parable to you. We don't have to spend a lot of time explaining the individual parts of it. But hearing, you know, the purpose of the parable, so that we can hear it and receive it and put it into practice. All right? So, the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart. Do you know that drives what we care about? Our affections. It has a lot to do with where we put our attention, how we spend our energy, the things that we're that find affection in our heart. Okay? So that makes up the condition of the heart. And I won't. Matthew, after the Lord gave the parable, in Matthew's account of it, there are several verses in between, and then the Lord interprets the parable for them. And in Matthew's account of it, he speaks of a heart that had waxed gross. A heart that had waxed gross. And what that means is it's, in some sense, it's become stupefied. Or maybe it's interested in sensual things. But let me tell you something. What we're talking about here is the reception of the Word of God. And so there could be a heart that's waxed gross toward receiving the Word of God, but very interested in other things in the world. Very active in their affections for other things. So again, the point here is, how do we receive the Word of God. What do we care about? Where are our affections set? And he addresses so much of that in this parable. Okay? All right. And I'm going to grab another verse from another account of this out of Mark. Mark, when the disciples ask him about the parable, Jesus said this in Mark 4:13, "Know ye not this parable? And how then shall ye know all parables?" Okay. So, he gives us the parable. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 10, he says, That's where he starts at verse 10. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this, he says. The seed, all right, so we've got a sower that went forth to sow the seed. I'm not going to take time to read the parable. We'll go through it in his discussion and his explanation of it. But the sower went forth to sow the seed, and as you remember from understanding about the parable, that the seed fell on various types of soils, right? Well, all right, let's just go ahead. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So he's given this comparison of like a man that's sowing seed on different soils. And he's teaching that this is representing the Word of God, and that as it is preached or as it is read or however you receive the Word of God, the condition of your heart will determine how you'll benefit from it. All right? So he says, the seed is the Word of God. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Wow. That sounds important. That's that the word, that if whether they hear it and understand it, they can believe it and be saved. That sounds important to me. How about you? But obviously we're not talking about heaven and immortal glory. Only the blood of Jesus can save us from our sins. But there is that time salvation that we need, right? We need the godly influence of the Word of God to guide our footsteps and our thoughts, so that we can live in a way that will save ourselves from this untoward generation, so that we're not like the rest of the world. We want to be. We need to be saved from that, right? Isn't that what the gospel is all about? To save us, if we keep in memory the things that's been preached unto us? To save us from the ungodly influences of the world? To save us from looking like the world? Okay? We need that. It's highly important for us. The Word of God. We need that to save us from this untoward generation. All right? But he said that some of this seed fell by the wayside. In other words, you know, he's going to get to the point where the seed is going to fall on some good ground. Ground that's been worked. Ground that's got the weeds taken out of it. Ground that's able to receive the word and spring forth and grow into a healthy plant and produce much fruit. But this first seed that he's talking about has fallen by the wayside, and it's away from any preparation of the heart. And it's just not capable of penetrating. It's hard. It's by the wayside where it could be trodden. And it's also by the wayside where the birds can pluck it up and steal it away. And you know what? That can happen to the child of God, that the Word of God, see, that's why this saved is not eternal salvation, because otherwise this parable would say that the devil can take your eternal salvation away from you. That's not possible. But he can sure destroy your timely salvation, can't he? If you're not careful, he can snatch the way of the Word of God that can help you to save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, what does that look like? The devil snatching the Word of God away. Well, I'll give you one illustration. When we say the last amen for this service, and folks get up and start talking, if you just immediately forget about everything you heard today, then the devil's already snatched it away. We didn't care enough for the word that we heard to keep it in memory so that it can have its effect and bear fruit. Has that ever happened to you? Has the devil ever snatched it away before you've ever gotten out of the building? It can happen, brethren, if we don't care enough to apply ourselves to hear it and understand it and hold on to it so that we can have it to use it when we leave here. Well, if the devil snatches it away, how much success did this service have? It was somewhat useless. If the devil can take the word away before you get out the door. Am I being radical here? Does God deserve that we receive his word and appreciate it enough to try to put it into practice? Remember it and try to put it into practice? Yes. Yes. Could that have something to do with the power that the church is not experiencing? If we're not living this word, if we're not bearing fruit, wow. I think this is pretty important. I think it's pretty applicable to the life that we're living. I think it's needful for us to lay these things to heart. But if it never gets down there, if it's not retained, if it's not getting into a prepared heart so that that heart can do with it what it needs to do and the Spirit working with it to effectually work to bring forth the fruit, we're missing the mark. We're missing out. And I'm just in the beginning of this. The time's about gone. Perhaps we're going to have to continue this. But I want you to think about that. Receiving the word. You know, whether it's preached from the pulpit, whether you're taking the time to read it, I hope you are at the beginning of your day, taking the time to read a portion of the word of God and asking the Lord to help you to keep it with you so that it can be a blessing to you throughout your day. Whether you're listening to some preaching on the your iPod or whatever source you have of exposing yourself to the word of God, I pray that we're hearing that word and that we care enough about that word that it gets into our hearts and we hold on to it and we use it and try to apply it to our lives. It's so, so needful. It's amazing to me that God brought his word into our language the way he did. While so many people want to discount the King James, I think it's an incredible evidence of the providence of God on the behalf of his people. That he's brought this word into our language, and he brought it into our language in such a way that he preserved his precious word so that it continued to be preached, so it can continue to be observed, so that it can continue to be appreciated in the days ahead. God's even promised in his word that he would preserve it. Psalm 12, was it 7 and 8? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. That tells me God is interested in preserving his word for his people. What I want to know is how interested are God's people in applying themselves to that word to the end that we can bring glory and honor to his matchless name while he's preserving the word. So think about it. Think about what we've said today. I won't take time to get into the rest of the parable. There's more to it. We'll, Lord willing, maybe next time we'll talk about the rest of this parable. But that first one, you know, if we're coming short on that first type of soil where the word was sown, we're not going to get any farther. And that's the way with a lot of God's lessons in Scripture, isn't it? You know, like I've heard it said, the first four words of the Bible. Remember what that is? In the beginning, God. If you don't believe that, you could close the book. If you don't believe in the beginning, God. You see, his word says exactly what he means. And if we have trouble understanding it, I have found something that's a great help in that. Keep reading. And ask the Lord to help you. Because anybody that diligently desires and earnestly desires to understand the word, God will help you. And he's got a variety of ways he can do that. But he's faithful to help us. So the first thing that he says about this parable was that there was some of the seed that fell by the wayside. And one of the writers said it was trodden underfoot. The others talk about how the bird snatched it away. And when the Lord interpreted that, it was the devil snatching away the word. So what I want you to remember about that is, like we said, if we leave the church today and if we immediately forget what was said here and not give it any attention, not give it any thought, and bless your hearts, we've missed the mark. The word's been snatched away from us for a variety of things. Or for a variety of reasons, perhaps. But may God help us. If anything today, I want to impress upon your heart the importance of this word. This word, however it's sown, whether it's from preaching from this pulpit, whether it's preaching from somewhere else that you're listening to, whether it's you're reading the word of God, wherever the case might be, may God help us to have a healthy desire not only to hear it, but to understand it, to apply it, because the end, you know, this parable, the one that brought glory to God was the ones that received the word and brought forth much fruit, because that glorified God. That's our desire, to receive the word into our hearts, apply it, may God help us to bear fruit to his glory. It'll be a blessing to you, but it'll bring glory to his name. And oh, in the day in which we live, how needful it is for God's people to be giving more glory to his name and not looking like the rest of the world. May God bless you is our prayer.